So, let's say we pray and we'll not sing a few songs.
Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this new day. Lord, for, I know there's a reason why the roof's still not finished, but Lord, you know that too. And I pray for your good time for all these things. I pray that you would be one of our number this evening. Lord, that you would just comfort us and strengthen us and make us bold and wise. And Lord, if we even need a wee bit of straightening out, I pray you for that too. Father, you know all our needs. I pray that you would supply us as we spend this time in Bethel and around your work. And Father, most of all, we pray for your will to be done. For those that aren't here, Lord, I pray for Colin. Pray for Will and Christine and Mary Ann, even Beryl, Lord, too. For Reggie and Fiona especially. For Ivorine and the rest of the family. For Pat and Steve, Lord, you know all of their issues and problems, physical problems, and I pray you please that you would supply their needs as well. And Father, for our brothers and sisters across the world, you know where they are and the countries in which they live, and it's a sad thing to think that Canada and America is now maybe an interesting and possibly detrimental place for Christians. But Lord, we really do need your help here in the UK as well. Please oppose evil and evildoers wherever they are. Should it only be in their dreams and in their thoughts, Lord, and in the events in their lives, please oppose them. And please bless those and keep those, Lord, that are doing your will. We love you and praise you. Pray you for Stan and the folks up in Bangor. For all those that have been and gone, Lord, please restore the fellowship of walking and talking with you. Leave these things at your feet. Lord, you know our private prayer requests and petitions. Pray for good weather for the next day or two. Just a day, Lord, even. Just a day. Get stuff finished on the roof. We love you and thank you. Please lead us and guide us through the service. Please, Father, I pray. We ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right. Let's start with one that we know. Hymn number 356. 356 in the big book. I must tell Jesus.
If I God ask him, he will be. Yeah. Next reading is from the Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath proposed in himself, that is the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also there that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purpose of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of time and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us ward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly place, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Amen.
Thank you, Norman.
Amen. Thank you, Norman. This is a bit of a service where we take up any prayer requests. If anybody has any, now would be the time to let us know. No special prayer request. Yes, Mrs. Bradley.
The Urian has been given a new date. It's July 18th.
Very nice. Hi. So it's gone from the 8th to the 18th, hasn't it? We pray for Mary Ann, but that will be a month literally that she has been waiting for the health service to get its act together so that she can get her knee fixed. Please do pray for Mary Ann. I know that's
great inconvenience to Christine and Will as well, so please do pray for them. Pray for the whole house. They're there in number 3 Blackburn. We miss Will this evening. Please do pray for him as he travels up and down in Belfast. I know he has a lot of paperwork because people are doing exams this time of year, so pray for Will. As we said, don't pray for strength. But pray for wisdom and patience for him, because if you pray for strength for people, he might actually just go out and wring somebody's neck for him. So that's worth bearing in mind. Please do pray for Pat and Steve. Steve still has health problems that are giving him something to keep his days busy. Pat, too, as she ministers to him. We miss Will, of course, as well. Colin's not here tonight. I mean, we nearly got Frank. If Frank had been here a day and a half longer, we might even have had Frank, but Frank made a quick appearance in Northern Ireland. He flew in on a private jet, so his adoring fans would not be able to catch him, but his biggest fan did. So please do pray for Ling. You guys are away, is it this weekend?
Monday.
Yeah. That's right, Monday. So Ling and Dr. Shang and Frank will be flying to Morocco on Monday, and we'll be back on, is it Sunday? Following Sunday, so please do pray for them as they travel. There's a lot going on. Please do pray for us. We tried, we got a little bit of work done this morning, but the rain was beating us. I got a soaking. I actually can feel my throat starting on me, so please do pray for Norman and myself. All we need, luckily, if we have one good day, it would be done. So please do pray for us. And then we can get the other ball rolling and get this dedication service going and invites out one thing or another. So please do pray about that. Is there anything else we need to just make a note of? Make a note of Lynn and everybody traveling, or do we have that?
It will be on Sunday's prayer list. I have it written down.
Please do pray for the Yang family. Acquaintances of Ling's lost a wife and a mother there just about a week and a bit ago. Please do pray for them. Okay, anything else? Anybody any private prayer requests? Lord knows what those are, and we mention them, we don't know anything. But the Lord does. Anybody got any thanks?
So good.
The other day, Brian came by. Amen. Always good. We're glad to get a little bit that we've done, but we would have been much happier to get much more done. So I am thankful for the life and health and strength to do that. Amen. Right, let's have a wee word of prayer, and then we're going to sing another song or two. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you again for the open invitation to come unto your presence at any time with boldness, not because of anything we have done, but because of what your Son did for us, and for the good sense to accept him as our Savior. Lord, you know all the things that's going on in the world, but especially in our wee part of it. Pray again, Lord, for good weather tomorrow, or Friday, depending on which day it is that we need to be getting it done. Thank you for all that we've accomplished. And I know we're literally, we can just about touch the finish line with the tips of our fingers, Lord. We just have to get everything over. Thank you, Lord, for the strength and the endurance and the wisdom and patience, Lord, for all parties involved, but most especially for Norman, as he had twice the work to do with pointing me in the right direction. And I pray, Lord, you just bless him and help him. For everybody that put their hands in their pockets, Lord, and contributed for the food supplies, Lord, for the prayers, I pray, Father, that please bless those that have given. On top of that all, Lord, we're glad that Frank got back to America. England okay. I pray, Lord, for Ling and her whole family as they travel to Morocco this coming week. And we pray, Lord, that you would just pave the way for them, if it would be your will, to get over safely and back in one piece. For the Yang family, for all those that have private prayer requests, for the thing with Will's granny, Lord, and this knee surgery. And pray too for Alan Leslie, Lord, Willie's old friend, that has been diagnosed with COVID, Lord. I know he has a lot of health problems already, and I'm sure that's not helping him one wee bit. Please, Father, I pray you be with him too. We pray your presence with us as well as we continue singing and praying and reading and preaching and fellowshipping, Lord. We pray most of all for your will to be done. Wherever, Lord, the full counsel of your word is being preached and the King James is opened, and Lord, I pray that you would bless the teachers and preachers and hearers of it. We love you and praise you. Lord, believe these things at your feet. You know our most urgent prayer requests, Lord, and we pray that you would grant them according to your will. Amen. Right, let's take our big hymn books again. Turn, if you would, to 211. 211. Whosoever needeth me. We can. We can put in an extra verse so that everybody can get the hang of it.
1 Kings chapter 15, and I want to spend a few minutes on a familiar subject. It just happens to be from a different part of the scriptures. Normally you would be speaking about the Lord saying something like, if a man hateth not his father and mother or whatever, that he's not worthy of me. But this is it's not an old message, it is part of the message. That God must be put first, called God first. We're going to be reading a dozen or so verses of 1 Kings chapter 15. We're going to begin at verse number 1. Some of these verses may actually be familiar because we read them probably about this time last week, speaking on a completely different subject. I hope this is a help to you, and if you'd like to join me, let's begin. Now, in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, reigned Abijam over Judah. 3 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom. And he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father. Nevertheless, for David's sake, did the Lord his God give him a lamp in Jerusalem to set his son after him, to set up his son after him, and to establish Jerusalem. Because David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, and turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. And there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all the days of his life. Now the rest of the acts of Abijam and all that he did, were they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? And there was war between Abijam and Jeroboam. And Abijam slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa his son reigned in his stead. And in the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, reigned Asa over Judah. And 41 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom. And Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. And he took away the Sodomites out of the land, and removed all the idols that his father had made, fathers had made, sorry. And also Maacah, his mother, even her he removed from being queen, because she had made an idol in the grove. And Asa destroyed her idol and burnt it by the brook Kidron. But the high places were not removed. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was perfect with the Lord all his days. We're going to stop reading there. Verse number 13 is our text, where we see that Asa had his mother Maacah removed from any form of authority whenever he discovered that she was still worshipping idols. And we're speaking on the subject of God first. So let's close our eyes and have another quick prayer, and then we'll crack on. Heavenly Father, we've come to this part of the service where we really depend upon you for a wee taste of wisdom, and for guidance and direction, and for myself, Lord, even the words to speak. Please bless this time, Father. You know it is a simple message when there are many examples in the Word of God. Please help us. Please help us, Lord. We love you and praise you.
And we ask this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. 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 Have you ever found something whenever you weren't looking for it? If you have lost something that's important, you may not find it straight away. You may find it whenever you're doing something else far on down the line. But you probably always have it in the back of your mind that it's missing and you're looking for it. Well, friends, it's the same with wisdom for you and I in the Gospels. We will never come across any of what God has for us unless we go looking for it, unless we have a heart that is open to the leading and the preaching of His Word. We spoke in Jeroboam and Rehoboam, and the two parts of Israel, the worldly part, which was called Israel, and supposedly the godly part, which was called Judah. Judah comprised the nation of Judah and Benjamin, and the other 10 tribes were named after all the other 10 sons of Israel, of Jacob. And there was always a war between them, and there is, even to this very day, there is contention between Bible-believing Christians and religious people. Because religious people may claim Jesus as their Savior, and may claim to serve Him, but when it comes to knowing Him as Savior and actually doing what He wants to do, sometimes there's a world of a difference. And religious people do not like being shown up as not being Christians. And so there is contention. And there was contention here as well. Now King Asa, he had not a great example in his dad. Because, as the Bible says, he walked in all the sins of his father. Asa didn't, but Asa's dad did. There was a lot of bad things that were done, especially by David and by Solomon, in their twilight years, whenever they gave in to their wives and followed false gods, and that happened because they married outside of the Jewish faith. But Asa had a mother. She was called Maacha. Or Matcha. I don't know how you pronounce it, but it certainly looks like Maacha to me. Or Maacha. And Asa was made king. And what tended to happen to a man of God in that position that was obeying God was God literally blessed him. Gave him peace, gave him victory, gave him many years of reigning on the throne. And Asa went out and he started clearing the country out. One of the first things he did was he cleared out the Sodomites. All those men that were involved in having physical relationships with other men, as the Bible says many times, have no place in a Christian society. This does not mean to go around and beat them up and kill them and throw them in a foil or bury them under apple trees. But they shouldn't be named in your life. And so Asa, he went about the business of getting rid of false idols. And he loved the Lord. And the reason I know that we can know that he loved the Lord more than anybody in his whole family was that whenever he found his mother, one of the most prominent people in the kingdom, second only to him, when he found her worshipping an idol, he stripped her of her crown. She was still his mother, the relationship was still there, but she could not be allowed to send a false message out into the kingdom of Judah that it's okay to worship false gods, because it's not. And so he knocked her position on the head. Now what tended to happen back in the days, there would be two thrones. The king would sit in one, and if the mother was alive, maybe she would sit on a smaller throne off to his side. And she would have authority. And everybody would see her, and she'd have nice clothes. And she'd probably have a fair few diamonds, a diamond crown, and all sorts of jewels, and fancy this and fancy that, and slaves and servants, and all sorts. Might even have had her own chariot, the queen's chariot. whenever he found that she was worshipping idols, thought, I can't have this. People say, what do they say right away, especially in Derry? But that's his mammy. Isn't that what they say? That's his mammy. Surely he should let her do whatever she wants. You see, the thing about it is, when you are responsible for other people, that is not the case. You just can't do whatever you want. You have to set an example. And the example being set in the kingdom was, we worship the God of heaven, not idols. We believe in proper physical human relationships between a man and a woman that's married together. Not sodomy, not lesbianism, nothing like that. Straightforward, heterosexual relationship. The problem with sin is, and one of the reasons why people will oppose you so much, is that whenever you stand up to say, hold on a wee second, that's sin. God says you shouldn't do that. It makes people feel ashamed. It makes them convicted. Whenever they were setting themselves to be somebody important, but deep down in their hearts, they have these idols. Not God. They have these idols that they believe are telling them what to do. And here's something about idols. Idols normally live in people's hearts. And people's hearts can tell them black is black one day, and they can tell them black is white the next day. People's hearts change. They're wicked. They're terribly deceitful. It says, I think it is in the book of Jeremiah. Can you imagine the look on her face when she's sitting with her chin out, with her hand on her scepter, and her crown and her royal robes? And Asa comes in and he says, Mom, you're not the queen anymore. And she would go, but Asa, why is that? Why am I not the queen anymore? He said, Mom, because I have just spent the last years getting all the idols out of the country and you're worshipping idols. You're dumb. You're still my mammy. But you're not the queen. You have no authority in this country anymore. And while we are not called to do that, because we are not in that position, that is a position that we should take in our own lives. Whenever there's things that are not right, we should be out. We shouldn't give them any authority. We shouldn't give them any prestige in our lives anymore. And those, of course, as well, that would maybe hang on to sin, they of course will be shown up as well, and they'll have to slink away, and sometimes they may even have a wee dig at you on the way past, but you're better with it gone than sending a singular message. Now in the Old Testament, being a parent's an important thing. Being a son or a daughter is an important thing as well, because it actually says in one of the Ten Commandments that we are to honour our mother and father so that our days may be long upon the land which the Lord our God gives us. And so how is it then that you honour your mother and father by shaming them? Well, A, we don't start out to shame anybody. The Holy Spirit will take care of that when we remind them of what is right and wrong. But God is to be obeyed before any parent, any spouse, any friend, any neighbour, and any government. It is not for nothing that in the New Testament, when the Lord walked and talked with us and did miracles and proved who he was, it was not for nothing that he said, don't think that I am come to bring peace on earth. I didn't come to bring peace but a sword. I come to set a man at enmity with his own household. A man's foes will be they of his own house. And I am sure we've even seen that over Brexit. We saw people in the same house start to get upset because one person was for it and one person was against it. We saw it over the last few years in America with President Trump, probably one of the best, most conservative presidents that America has seen, maybe for a generation. And people in
And the one household would have two different opinions of President Trump and would get quite irate about it. And it's the same with the Lord Jesus Christ. There is always a spirit in man that strives against doing the right thing. But guess what? We can make decisions. And we can choose to do the right thing regardless of what we feel like. If we have a set of rules that we know will work, regardless of the situation, regardless of the political temperature. By all means, honor your mother and father. By all means, love your children, your parents, your grandparents, your aunts, your uncles, your friends, your neighbors, your countrymen, even the stranger in the street. Do indeed love them. Love them enough to tell them the gospel. Love them enough to appear foolish in their sights when you tell them about Jesus. I'd rather be a fool for Jesus than the wisest lost man in this world. There are governments, kings, institutions, organizations, schools, all sorts of religions that have their own rules, that have their own laws. And I am going to tell you something here and now. Every single one of them, except for the King James Bible, is probably unrecognizable today compared to what they started out with. Every single one of them. If you even go back to the end of the war, World War II, homosexuality was imprisonable. Homosexuality was imprisonable, and now you have the government saying, oh, that's wonderful. And they do a wee dance with rainbows and sprinkles and unicorns and all that there. And they even have people walking naked through the streets in America, and the police will not arrest them for indecent exposure. And that was on the news this past few days. This is the world that we live in. You couldn't trust the government to feed your cat, honestly. You couldn't trust the government to monitor your grass growing. My cats can look after themselves, and my grass will grow itself. You couldn't trust the schools to teach your children about mathematics, about English. What do they call it? Reading, writing, and arithmetic. Yeah. How to read and write. You couldn't trust them because they want to teach little children about transgender. They want to ruin the children. Their opinions have changed so much. But I want you to know something, friends. That regardless of the opinions of the world and regardless of the laws of the land, the Word of God, the King James Bible, is the same as it has been for 2,000 years and more. The rules have never changed. Even when Jesus stepped into the world, and instead of being the Old Testament days that were subject strictly, even on pain of death, to the laws that were written in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, where people were put to death, Jesus said, hey, don't for a second think that I am come to do away with the law. The law still stands. The law still stands. Jesus said, I'm not come to get rid of it. I am come to fulfill it. I am come to be the final payment for breaking God's laws. And if you don't accept my payment, you are still guilty for the breaking of God's laws. That hasn't changed in thousands of years. Everything else changes. People's opinions change. If we were to walk down the street in Old England, what would people say about the way we dress? If we were to speak in Old England, people probably wouldn't understand us because of the slang that we use and the poor quality of our English. Our sentences hardly ever go more than 10 words long. And you look in the Bible, sometimes sentences go on for half a page with semicolons and colons and commas and things like that. Things change, friends, but something should... A, God never changes. it would be unfair of God to change the rules, wouldn't it? Because that would mean the people that have been and gone would have a better or a worse chance than we do. God's rules never change. And you know what? First and foremost, even the first couple of commandments are to do with worshiping and praising God and putting Him first. Jesus summed it up whenever He was challenged by a Pharisee. He said, "We should love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength." In other words, not just feel like it, but live like it and put a bit of effort into it, because that's what it requires. And then He said, "And love your neighbor as yourself," after you put God first. Because if you have anything else in front of God, and bear in mind, God's rules are the same, no matter whether you're a prince or a pauper, whether you live in the biggest house on the Colmore Road, or whether you currently sleep under the bridge, God's rules are the same. Entry into heaven, you must be born again. Living with Jesus requires, well, doing a bit of reading and doing a bit of praying and studying and preaching and teaching and fellowshipping. That's the same whether you're a prince or a pauper, whether you're a brain surgeon or a bin man. It's the same. Everybody gets a fair shake. Not just in this generation, but in the whole existence of mankind. And if you put God first, you could fellowship with Christians of years ago, because you would still believe the same thing. And you will put the same things first, and you will feel the same way about stuff. You'll just be the same, God's children. But if you put your mother first, and this is what the Catholic faith would teach, that literally Mary can twist Jesus' arm up his back and get anything they want out of him. If you put your mother before God, mothers can be very sentimental. And they can get very emotional, like when you forget birthday parties and presents and or even to turn up for dinner on Sundays and stuff like that. They can get a bit emotional like that. And the decisions that they would make on those particular days would be different to many other days. And I don't want a God that gets all emotional because I've made a mistake. I really want a God to treat me the same whether or not I'm doing right or wrong, or whether or not everybody's pleasing him or not. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ is the same. If you put your mother first, and then God, there's going to come a time whenever the two clash. And who do you follow? If you put your child first, and so many parents do, then my children are the most important thing in my life. Well, even my wife is not the most important thing in my life. God is the most important thing in my life, because it was through God that I got my wife. And that is how I will keep my wife, and that is how she will keep me, by continuing to be a good Christian and to keep our eyes on Jesus. We'll always be on the same page, regardless of our interests, regardless of our culture, regardless of the fact that she's a woman and I'm a man. Isn't that right, dear? Am I allowed to say that? And when we do things the right way, you see, I'm not joking when I say women are emotional. Men tend not to be quite so much. A man can make a hard decision in the worst of times and it'll be right. But it'll tug in the heartstrings, and a man can just say, I'm not listening to the heartstrings, but a woman will. A child that is unused to catching a hold of their hearts, they will make the same emotional decisions. Are we going to give in to them? Mommy, I want a video game. But little darling, it's going to cost the week's groceries. But I don't care, Mommy. I want the video game. But if we get the video game, we're not going to have any meat. We'll have to eat cereal for breakfast, lunch, and tea. But I want the video game. Okay, we'll get the video game. We'll do whatever you want. What do they say? Anything for a quiet life. Obviously, what happens there is something that is not good for the family or for the child. But if you put God first, God says to bring your child up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And if it behaves, great, a little blessing. No, dear, we're not going to get that video game for you today because we're out buying groceries. But if you're good and you help me around the house and you do a few extra things for me because chores, they need to be done regardless, then at the end of the month, we will see about your video game. But mommy, I want it. Here's something else that you might not want, but actually need. That is called the admonition of the Lord. And the Bible says to spare the rod, well, will spoil the child. That's not in the Bible, but the sentiment is there. He that loveth his son chasteneth him betimes. That's what the Word of God says. And there's a few other places where it talks about bruises appearing on the backside whenever children have to be smacked extra hard for continually rebelling against their parents. And you know what? Someone might get bent out of shape about this, but is it better to have a child with a bruised backside in your home by someone that loves them, or is it better to have a rubber bullet jammed into their head or hit over the head with a day stick by a copper that doesn't give a monkey's? You pick. Whenever we abdicate responsibility in our hearts and give it over to what our friends think, or whenever they leverage you, whenever they try to manipulate you by saying, if you don't stop talking about Jesus, we're not going to invite you out anymore. Well, that's okay. I don't have to talk about Jesus. I'll just come out and drink. Or I'll just go out with you and maybe I'll pick up a wee boy or a wee girl and we'll just have fun, and I promise I won't talk about Jesus. That means your friends in your life have a greater authority and effect in your life than the God that saved your soul. So who do you listen to? I'm going to show you how easy it is to go from being a social drinker to being a murderer. From being a churchgoer to being a murderer. Didn't take very much for Cain. One bad run-in with God. One wagging of the finger. He became a murderer. Do you know the number of Christians that drink? It's astounding. Wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And what does God say to us? Be ye as gentle as a dove and cunning as a serpent and wise as a serpent. We're supposed to be wise. In fact, God says, if any of you lack wisdom, ask me. Ask me and I'll make you wise. You don't have to drink whenever you come out with us, but come on out and have yourself a Coke. All right, sure, I'll go out and I'll have a Coke. You go out and have a Coke a few times with your friends, and then someone will say, here, have a taste of that baby sham. That's the starter's drink. You think, man, that's quite nice in the alcohol contents. It's fairly low. You can have a half a dozen of those and still drive. They would tell you, same as you're our designated driver. So instead of ordering a Coke, you order baby sham. And you have your one or two and it doesn't affect you. And then when you're having your baby sham, you say, why don't you try a wee taste of that vodka and Coke? And so there's a wee vodka and Coke appears on your table. And instead of just one in a night, there's maybe a half a dozen in a night. And then you're feeling good and you spot someone across the bar and you decide to go to their house for the night. And either them or you wakes up in the morning and somebody's in the family way. And I want to tell you something, friends. Whether you wait until you're 9 months into your pregnancy or whether you kill it, kill your baby on the very next day, whether it's 2 cells or 2 billion cells, a baby has been conceived. And it is known by our Father which is in heaven. He said, and we covered that all. And if you kill that child, you're marked as a murderer.
Whether you take a wee tablet you ordered off the internet, or whether you had to go to London, is what they had to do in this neck of the woods up until very, very recently, and spend a day in a surgery and a night in a hotel, fearful for your life, wondering what you've just done as the enormity of the decision lands upon your shoulders. And so from going from being a good Christian and giving your authority over to your friends and listening to them instead of a God, you become a drinker. Be not filled with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And from going to a drinker, you become a fornicator. And from going from a fornicator, you have become a murderer. Is there anything, quite literally, more that you can do to sully your name and dirty yourself in the eyes of God? The devil's not stupid. He goes about like a roaring lion, and he will try and bargain away God's authority in your life. And he will try and tempt you away from the straight and narrow. He will, like he did to Eve, surely God said that you shouldn't eat of the fruit of tree. Or what did God say? He said we shouldn't eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge and we shouldn't even touch it. But God didn't say that. God said you just shouldn't eat of it. And whenever he sees you have a weakness in your faith with God, you have a failing in your understanding of the scriptures, you'll be in like a flood. And unless you turn to God and get to God real quick and stay there, he'll wash you away. You're lost. It is so, so important that if you're not sure, whenever big decisions and even little decisions in life come up, you should say, well, God, what do you reckon? What do you think? If you have read enough of the Bible, if you're really saved, the Holy Spirit will bring you the answer. Just like that. This is what you should do. My wife and I were having a discussion the other day about family gatherings. And I'm not afraid of drink. I'm not an alcophobe, if that's even a thing. I know exactly what alcohol will do to someone. I have seen wee girls' lives ruined because they drink. I have seen people lose their lives because they drink. An old workmate of mine blew her liver out, and she died a few years after I left working in a hotel. I have seen it. I know what it does. It shouldn't have anything to do with it. God says you shouldn't be anywhere near it. But ask him, Lord, should I really be drinking? Should I really be out there, half dressed, chasing wee boys or wee girls, acting the fool? Should I really be doing that? Or is there something else I should be doing instead? And whether it's drinking, whether it's fighting or darling, cursing or swearing, Lord, should I really say that? There's a part of me wants to say that, but should I really? Would that bring glory to you, or would that bring you down in people's eyes? Anyway, my wife and I were having a discussion about family gatherings. And over the years, I have come to the conclusion that I really want nothing to do with alcohol. I just don't want anything to do with it. It has not done anybody that I know any good. Unless you happen to have a dirty cut and you happen to have a bottle of alcohol, high concentration alcohol, you can throw over that cut to clean it out. And even that's probably not the best thing you can do. Saline's probably better than that. But you know what I'm talking about. And there's many a time when I have asked my family, will anybody be drinking at the barbecue? Will anybody be drinking at the family gathering? And they have said, well, there might be a few beers. And my answer is, well, I won't drink. You might have beer there, but you won't have me there. And it hurts a little bit. And I'll tell you why. Because there's a wee gap left in your life. And I don't know
how everybody else sleeps. But when I go to sleep, I like the blankets tucked in around me, because I don't like the little drafts in my back or around my feet. And it's the same with your life and the people you love. For whatever reason, if you have to step away from them because they would only drag you down. And I'm not saying abandon your family. Your family's different to friends and your family's different to neighbours. But when they wanted me to do things and I said no, I was fully aware that I wasn't going to get to see my family at that particular time. And I couldn't fellowship with them because once the drink's in, the wit's out. Just be out of nonsense and drivel and carry on. And I have missed out on those family gatherings. But I'll tell you what I haven't missed out on. I haven't missed out on having God with me and winning a victory over, well, hold on a wee second. If I have the victory over being invited to family gatherings and I can say no to my mum and my dad and my brothers and my sister, I can say no to anybody. I don't have to fellowship with those wackadoodle churches. I don't have to fellowship with the Presbyterian Church, the Catholic Church, the Charismatic Church. I can tell them to take a run and jump. No, we don't want anything to do with you. I can literally stand up and say anything I want as long as it's out of the Bible. I can go on to TV. And I can tell people that homosexuality, that lesbianism, that transgenderism, and that fornication is wrong. And it's not just me that says it, it's the Word of God that says it. Oh, but if you say that, you'll not have very many friends. In the words of the old song, what a friend I have in Jesus. And there's a little promise for you. It can be lonely when you stand for Christ. But everything that you lose for the cause of Christ or give up for the cause of Christ, that draft that you feel, God will always have something that is 100 times better for you in place of it. It's a promise from God. And Peter said to the Lord, Lord, we have left everything for you. Jesus said, there is no man that has left family or friends, lands or houses, that will not receive a hundredfold in this world. With the persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. I urge you to put God first. And remember when the hard decisions come. We were just talking about a great little verse in Isaiah 50 and verse 7. And the tail end of the verse says that I have set my face as a flint and I shall not be ashamed. In other words, you do what needs to be done. Don't show anything for it. Don't give any quarter. Don't ask for any. And if it hurts, you tell it to God and he will put you back together the right way. It's a promise from God. I held on to it quite a few times. And guess what? It works. God is good. He's faithful in his promises. When you put him first. Because it's only when you put him first that he can do his greatest work in you. And there's going to come a day, and it's going to come a lot sooner than a lot of people think. But the only thing that is important in this world is your walk with God. When you get to heaven, when you stand over the great white throne of judgment in Revelation 20, and you see all the folks down there, the dead, small and great, all the people that love to drink and love to carry on and love to do drugs and love to tell dirty stories and always were taking the Lord's name in vain and threw away the gospel tracts that you put into their hands or into their doors and made fun of you because you stood for Christ, and every single one of them loved those things more than God. You'll know you're in the right. You will see that you're in the right. Because it'll not be your mates, and it'll not be the government, and it'll not be any institution or denomination that sits in that great white throne of judgment. It will be the God of the Bible.
and it will be His word that you committed to your heart, that you listen to preach upon, those good songs are based upon. It will be His word, and it will be His power and His authority. And His last words to those people will be, if their name is not in the Lamb's book of life, cast them into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. I know it's tough down here because we're so entrenched in worldliness. It's hard to get out of it. It's hard to get away from it. But whenever you do, things become so much more clear. So much easier. Don't do yourself a disservice. If you're saved, you have been given an opportunity to go into the presence of God at any time. You have been given the Holy Spirit that sees you and indwells you until the day that you stand in front of God. You have a home in heaven prepared. You have a new and a glorified body prepared. You can have the very words of God Almighty whenever you need them, if you want them. You have family across the world. You have family that's not DNA family, but blood of Christ family, and they're more steadfast than your own family. You can have all of these things, and so much more, when you put God first. You don't have to give Him your whole life. Give Him an inch of it. See if He doesn't do a good job of it. And if He does a good job of it, then give Him 2 inches. Then give Him a foot. Then give Him whatever height you are, 5 foot 8. See what He can do. And there will come a day when you come to the end of your life, whether you have days and weeks to consider it or whether you have seconds to consider it. You will never regret a life lived with Christ. I'm going to stop there in case I ramble on too much longer. I appreciate your good time and attention. We'll take our big black books this evening. We'll finish with a song out of them, out of that, if that's right. Hymn number 5, The Lord is My Shepherd, if you're able, we'll stand as we sing. Number 5 in the wee black books, The Lord is My Shepherd. forget our prayer requests, absent friends and family, and don't forget to pray for each other, and pray for yourselves too, you're allowed to. Amen. Let's close our eyes and be dismissed with a wee prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this little bit of time you set aside in your presence. Please bless us as we part company. I pray your good hand upon us as we drive home. And Lord, we look forward to being back the next appointed time. Please walk with us and give us a good sense to walk with you, Lord, these up and coming days. And one last thing, Father, is any chance of some good weather tomorrow that we can get cracking on with this route. We love you and praise you, and thank you for loving us and sending your Son to give his life on the cross for us. Amen. Folks,